I thank the Lord today for his goodness to me. Appreciate what he's done, what he's doing. When I came, I didn't know if the Lord would give me anything or not. I hadn't left with home with a burden, but he began to burden me yesterday, and so I felt like that this kind of goes along with what the brother preached this morning. I felt like it kind of went together and kind of was the Lord leading me to go ahead and give this little message to go along with what he had said. He had told us that there was going to be high times, mountains, and low times, and that we had to get prepared in between. And this message that I have here, the title of it is, What Have You Learned? What have you learned? Human beings like to learn. But there's a scripture in the Bible that says that ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So not all learning is beneficial. But the human race wants to learn. They have a curiosity. They want to learn. But in our salvation, what have you learned? What have you learned? What can you stand on? Turn with me to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Starting at the 11th verse, 11 through 13. This is Paul. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, Paul had a pretty rough life. The scripture bears out the many things that he went through and the things that he learned along the way. And for him to be able to say that, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. But he learned something. He learned as he went along. He learned as he went through things. He learned as he progressed through his salvation experience. He learned as he carried the gospel. He learned as he helped those find Christ. He learned some things. So, in this scripture, the first word I want to deal with is learned. In Isaiah 50, the 4th and 5th verse, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. You know, the Lord wants to give us the tongue of the learned. The learned. What have you learned? How do you use your tongue? It says that we should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Oh, listen. The world needs so much comfort. They are in such distress. People are going around day by day, in and out of stores and all. And as you go about your day, you look in and you see the people as they pass through. And basically what you find out is that most of them aren't very happy. You can see it on their faces. They're sad. They're distressed. They're in a hurry. But they don't have a whole lot of happiness. And the Lord wants us to learn how to speak a word. How to speak a word. How to be able to raise somebody's spirits. How to give them an introduction to something more than what they're going through at that moment. We can do that in many ways. Actions sometimes speak louder than words. Grabbing a shopping cart from someone and say, I'll put that over there for you. giving them your place in line. Nobody wants to give up their place in line. This is a world that is full of lines, and you have to wait a long time in lines, and people don't like to give up their place in line, but they'll do it. One time I was in the market, and there was these young teenagers in front of me, and they looked like the world. They had purple hair and tattoos and piercings everywhere, and they were just so over the top even for the world. And they were in front of me in line. And the one at the end turned around and he looked at me and he said, "Go in front of us." Wasn't what I was expecting. You know, you're looking at them and you're thinking, and they gave me a blessing. They gave something to lift me up. You know, we need to be conscious that the Lord wants to give us words to help people. When we go about our business, we're not to be just in ourselves and so worried about our time schedule and all that we don't have a word that we can give to somebody, that we don't have an uplifting thing. There are times that you're not a blessing. I just recently, not too long ago, I was driving on the freeway, and you know, people get pretty angry on the freeway. And I don't know what I did, but I did something. And I still don't know what I did. But this man was very angry with me. And he went by and he was carrying on and gestures and he was just beside himself. And then he tore off ahead of me down the freeway. And I felt so bad. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, help that man." I said, because I wasn't a blessing to him today. I was a curse. Somehow, I cursed him today. The little things on the freeway, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we make mistakes and there's nothing we can do about it. But have you ever had the thought in your mind, you're in the fast lane and somebody's up behind you and you're saying, "You know, I'm going the speed limit. They don't need to go any faster than I'm going anyway. It's not safe for them to go any faster." And you're just holding your place in line. Be a blessing to somebody. Be a blessing. Do something to lighten somebody's load. It says, "I've learned how to speak a word in season." In season. Oh, we're so full of words, but sometimes they're not in season. Sometimes they're out of season. People feel like somebody needs to tell them, and it might as well be me, and it might as well be now. That's not in season. Somebody will have the perfect words that will speak to the problem or speak to the issue, and it will bring a blessing instead of heartache or instead of a reversal or cause them to have an offense. There's a time and a season. Paul said, I've learned. He learned how to speak a word in season. He says, "And I awake my ear to hear as the learned." To hear as the learned. You know, there's some things you just shouldn't listen to. If you're learned, you realize that this taking place is not worthy to be heard. It may be titillating. It may be interesting. It may be, what was that? But it's not good. And so I've trained my ear to hear, to have an ear of the learned, to know when to walk away, to turn off. Oh, listen, if you listen to too much of the news in this day and age, you are going to be in trouble. You're just going to be in trouble. There's nothing wrong with listening to the news. Nothing wrong with knowing what's going on. We should know what's going on. We should know how to pray. That's all right. But if you listen too much, sometimes, you know, when you're traveling in a car, you have a tendency to maybe listen a little more than you normally would. because it's boring driving. And I can feel myself, I can feel something start happening to me. And it start rising up in here and a concern and what are we going to do? And everything is gloom and doom. And what are we? And all of a sudden, it'll come to me. Oh, the Lord's in control. See, when we listen to all those things, it tends to lead us away from remembering that the Lord is in control. Amen. He knows what's going on. Right. Do you know that none of this is a surprise to him? Right. He knew everything that's happened so far. It wasn't a surprise. The devil doesn't sneak something over on him. No. He knows the devil's plans, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows what he's working to thwart the enemy's plans unless it coincides with his. His plan is to redeem mankind. His plan is to bring souls to him. That's his plan. And sometimes hard times bring that. So don't look for good times. It's better for the unsaved if it's hard times. They're more likely to turn to somebody, something. Look for some help somewhere. If they aren't all secure in themselves. In Isaiah, the 50th chapter in the 11th verse, it says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Do you know we have a lot of fiery things to walk through? Many, many things to walk through. Things that are so hard and so we don't know which way to turn. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we kindle our own fire. We bring it upon ourselves, in other words. We haven't learned how to not bring things upon ourselves. We haven't learned how to seek the Lord before we react. We haven't learned how to look to him before we let someone take us down a path. We kindle our own fire. And then we're walking in it. And we're upset and we want help and everything. But we're still walking in the fire we kindled. Things that we did. Things we said. You know, sometimes you're just going to have to live some things down. You know what I'm talking about? When you've made a bad example and somebody has seen it. And this usually occurs in the home. Somebody has seen it. You're going to have to live it down. You know, sometimes we can be so quick to say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry, you know, I did this and everything." But I'm going to tell you something. Because you say sorry, and because somebody knows they're supposed to forgive, and because they do in their minds and with their hearts forgive, there are consequences to these things that linger a while. And you're just going to have to live down the fire you kindle. There are people that have a problem with being quiet. There are people that have a problem with being too quiet. And you're going to walk What you kindle for yourself, that's where you're going to walk. You're going to be in there. You're going to be doing that. You're going to be putting up with that. And it's no fault but your own. It's your own. What have you learned? What have you learned? The Lord has a way of teaching us lessons, doesn't he? He comes along and we can kindle a fire. We can get it burning pretty hot. And then all of a sudden we realize we're trapped in it. And what have we done? And how do we get out? And God is so good. He's so good to come to us and bring us out. Show us how to get out. Show us what to say. Show us how to act. Show us what to do that would cause the fire that we have kindled to go out. To be content. Paul said he had learned to be content. Contentment. The scripture says contentment is With something is great gain. What is it with? Godliness. With godliness. There we go. Godliness with contentment. Great gain. Contentment. Paul said he learned how to be content. Now you heard all the things and you've read all the things that have happened to Paul in the scriptures. And he learned to be content. Content in all those things that happened, all the things that came upon him, all the things he had to walk through. He learned to be content. He learned how to be content wherever he was, whatever was happening, whatever situation he was in. Oh, listen, sometimes it's easy to be content in nice situations. But in hard situations, it's not so easy to be content. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 5 and 6, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Be content. Content with things that you have. Where you're at in life. You know, the world is striving to have more and more. They're striving to move from this position to another position. They're striving to go forward more and more. It is a pressure in the world to strive. Yes, sir. And we are to be content. We are to have a different idea and a different mindset than the world. We are to have a mindset to where we are willing to do with less. Yes. Do you know the more things you have, the harder it is to keep track of it all? Right. You found that out, right? Oh, I remember my husband and I, we first got married, and everything that we had practically in our little home that we set up was given to us. You know what I mean? Nothing matched, nothing, you know. And so as a young wife, you're trying to make it as attractive as you can make it look nice and everything. And it was so simple. So simple. If somebody came over and they walked on the used carpet that somebody had given you to lay down and they had muddy shoes on, didn't give you a problem at all. But just get that brand new carpet in your house. Then what happens? Then all of a sudden, there's a worry that takes place. There's a, I have to take care of this. I have to keep it in the condition it's in, and I have to do more. And then what about the new furniture? You know, be careful now. You know, then you're all the little children that used to come to your house, and they were all over the furniture and everything. They come and you got your new furniture now. Now you're telling them, sit down, put your feet down, take your shoes off. Content with such things as you have. Because there's more work with everything you collect. Have you learned that? Listen, I learned that I had collected way too many things when I moved from Wisconsin back to California. I had collected too many things. Do you know that I, in a shed there on the property, I had boxes of things that I had brought from California to Wisconsin that had never been opened. Now, I have to confess, I did have to open them before I threw them away. You know what I'm saying? Because I thought, what is in there? Maybe it's something I really want. Maybe it's really important. And I had to open them, but most of it, I just gave it away. If you haven't used it in that many years, we were there 16 years, it's probably not something you really need. But see that human in us, there just might be something in there. I know people that go to auctions and they buy boxes of junk. Do you know what I'm talking about? I have an uncle that goes to auctions. And he will buy boxes, when they've got through laying out everything that's worth anything, they start throwing junk in boxes. And they just offer the box up for auction. He buys boxes, unseen, of junk. Because there might be a treasure in there. You know? To be content with such things as you have. You know, to not be striving. Do you know, I believe that probably the word of God in the missionary effort suffers because we have more stuff. I think it does. I think that sometimes we feel like we need something new. And it used to be maybe that the Lord would inspire the saints. They would need something new. And the Lord would inspire them. And they would give that money to the missionary effort somewhere. And then the Lord would provide for them. Yes. It may not be brand new. But the Lord provided them with something. I wonder how much of that is going on now. How much of that is really happening now? That we give up our new refrigerator. Because, you know, we have one that has a drawer in the wrong place. I just can't abide this. It has this drawer. Or it has a drawer that half the space is taken up by something behind. And so it doesn't hold all the vegetables I want it to hold. I'm talking about myself. And so I want a new refrigerator because I want this all to fit right. You know, I should be able to have things fit right the way I want in my house. And those of you that have traveled to foreign lands and gone to other places, it's an eye-opener to you, isn't it? With how they do things and how they preserve things and what they do to make everything fit. Be content. And remember that the Lord is your helper. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid what man's going to do, what the government's going to do, what other countries are going to do. You don't have to be afraid of that. God is our helper. He's our helper. He's not seen like other people see things. You can be in a place and somebody will say something, you know, well, there was a great, what do they call it, a police presence there. In other words, the police were out in force. But we take God with us everywhere. Our force is with us everywhere. Our protector is always with us. He's with us in every little endeavor we do, anywhere we go. He's right there with us. And we don't have to be afraid of that. Paul said he knew how to be abased. Matthew 23 and 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. He knew how to be abased. Abased. Somebody give me a definition. For abased. Louder. Brought low. Brought low. Humbled. Abased. Oh, he said he knew how to do this. I know how to be abased. I know how to be talked about. I know how to be lied on. He knew how. He knew how to do it with the grace of God in his heart and be able to go on and perform the duties that God wanted him to do and not go off in a corner and say, well, they just don't want me. I'm of no use. I'm not helpful. Nobody wants to hear my ideas. No, he knew how to be able to stay right there and fill his place in the body. You have a place in the body. There are things you're supposed to do. But you're going to be abased. You have to know how to be abased. You have to know how to face things that humble you and bring you low and make you feel like you're nothing. Paul had to know how to do that. He was chased all over. He was chased everywhere he went. They tried to kill him, I don't know how many times. He knew how to be run out of town. I don't think any of us have had that experience yet. But if somebody just speaks to us a little off or says some little thing, it runs us out of town. We're going to go home. We're not going to stay. I'm not going there again. I'm not going to be with them again. I'm not speaking to them again. I'm not going where they are again. I'm not helping when they're in the kitchen again. You're going to have to learn how to be abased. It's part of your training. Did you know that it's part of your training? That you have to expect it. It's coming your way. It's part of your training to be a gospel worker. Because you're going to be chased out of town. So God gives you these little experiences to help you out. And you're not going back in the kitchen. And God has something so much bigger that you're going to have to face later. And like the brother said this morning, we better be getting these little ones while they're here. Better be learning while we're getting hold of in these tiny things. Learn how to be abased. How to be talked bad about. And not be able to go and clear up anything. You know there's a rumor about you. Oh my. A rumor. And it's been passed around. You don't know who it's gone to. You'd like to explain yourself, right? Natural. You want to explain yourself. Just learn to be abased. Just learn how. Learn how to hold your head high and say, Lord, I don't know where it went. I don't know how it got started. And if I had any part in it, show me my part. Because usually rumors don't spring out of nothing. Usually. I'm not saying they don't. But usually there's something, some little something that you could have done different or that you said or that somebody overheard part of your conversation. You know, be careful about your conversations. There are people all around you. There are people walking by. There are people scattered and they walk by and they hear just the end of the sentence. They didn't hear the beginning. Be careful what you're saying. God is so good to teach us how to be abased because the devil is after us all the time. And he has power. These people and these situations, there's no power in this. But the enemy has power. And you need to learn when the enemy sends things hard your way. And he's trying to completely knock you out of the race. You need to know how to be abased and be low and humbled to get a hold of God and fight the enemy of your soul. It said also that if you humble yourself, that you shall be exalted. Oh, listen. That isn't our purpose. That isn't our purpose, to be exalted. There are some people that get on a set of false humility where they feel like, oh, I'm humbling to this and I'm humbling to that. And they feel exalted in their spirit because I'm being so good in the midst of all of these troublemakers. God wants to give us more than that. You haven't even hit a base yet. You think you're humbled and God is already exalting you and you haven't even hit the base yet. He hasn't been able to send enough to knock you down yet. Do you know the Lord will knock us down? It's good for us. Do you know it's good for you? Don't we let our little children run around and fall down and knock themselves and all these things? We don't put them in a little safety cube and protect them and don't let them. It's good for them. It's good for them to learn to not run downhill. Every child does it. You know, they start that little run down that little hill, and before they know it, their feet are just not even keeping up with their speed anymore, and they're tumbling down the hill. You could not explain it to them well enough for them to get that. But once they've done it once, they've got it. They've got it. You watch. They will not do it the same way again. God has a way of teaching us things. And part of it is to abase. We have to learn to be abased. Put down. Call names. Disregarded. Ignored. Not thanked. We have to learn. And go on working for the Lord. Because you know what? The world is not going to be kind to us. It wasn't designed to be kind to us. We were designed to be kind to it. It says, I know how to be abased. And then it says, I know how to abound. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 7th verse. 2 Corinthians 8, 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. That ye abound, abound. To have a lot of it. Yes. Now, there's a lot of things we go after that we'd like to have a lot of. But faith. Have a lot of faith. Knowledge. How about diligence? Have a lot of diligence? Yes. Do you have a lot of diligence? Faith sometimes is something that's hard to measure, but diligence shows up. Diligence shows up. It shows up in your everyday walk with the Lord. Many, many times as we deal with souls in trouble. One of the first things out of their mouth usually is, I know I need to read and pray more. That's diligence. And that's usually the first thing they confess. I need to do this more. Do you think they just got a revelation of that day?
No.
No. But they did get a little revelation that part of the problems I'm having is because I haven't been diligent. The Apostle Paul learned how to abound. To have lots of it. Lots of faith. Lots of utterance. In other words, being able to speak that word in the right season, lots of it. Not where you're having to scramble for something nice to say. Do you know what, I'm saying? In knowledge. In other words, I'm studying a little bit. Shouldn't we all be studying a little bit? A little bit in the scriptures? Shouldn't we be looking up some things? Shouldn't we be running down at least some word definitions or, you know what I'm saying? Or looking up some scriptures that pertain to one another, not just reading through a chapter that has 15 different thoughts and say, we studied today. Well, take each one of those thoughts in that chapter of 15 and study out that one thought. Get a real good handle on it. See, studying, knowledge. And in your love to us, love. Oh, we can't get enough love. We've already heard so much about love in this meeting. We must be going to need it. We must, it must be coming a time. It says in the last days that the love of many will wax cold. As the natural love gives way on the earth to where they don't even hardly have natural love anymore, then it's going to be a pressure on us to maintain our love, to maintain the love we need. And so we need to abound in it now before the pressure comes. Before you're, should it ever come to this, you're hiding from your neighbors. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to preserve. We don't know what this world's going to come to. But we better have lots of love in the end. We better be able to love those that are persecuting us. We better be able to love those that are persecuting us. I know that many vile things have been done, but we better know how to love those that persecute us. We need to abound in it because they're not going away. They're not going away. We're in the last days. They're not going away. We can look for things to get worse and worse because the Bible told us it would. We know this already. We see changes going on in governments all over the earth. They're not good changes. I haven't seen any good ones yet. You're not seeing any. The only thing good that is coming out of all the changes is that there are still souls being saved. And that's the good thing. And we need our love to abound, even towards our enemy. Because if you don't practice and if you don't work on it now, what are you going to do, like, if it comes in the days of the martyrs and they're getting ready to do something to your children right there in front of your face? How are you going to have it then? How are you going to have it then? See, now's the time to get it. Put in for it. Work at it. With all these little non-essential little things that trouble us from day to day that we call such heavy burdens, it's time to learn something. Learn how to do this. Paul learned how to do this, how to abound, how to have plenty, how to have plenty of what he needed, to already have it on hand when he hit the problem, so that he was able to speak a word here or say a word there. Or how about just be able to hear the Lord? Do you know, if you're not abounding in some of these things, if you're not abounding, you won't be able to hear the Lord. When the Lord wants to tell you something to help you out of the trouble, the present distress, you will not hear him. But if you've been attending to business and abounding and taking all these small things that happen to us, these small things that trouble us, these small little things that hurt us and make us offended, and all the... If we learn how to handle those things with grace and glory and thanksgiving and praise, and let it correct us along the way, because things don't happen to us just because we're so good. God's trying to get something over to us. So we better learn how to abound like Paul learned. He says, I'm instructed to be full. James 3:17-18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I'm instructed to be full. Full of what? All of this. Wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom comes from learning, doesn't it? How wise are you today? How much have you learned? Are you a Paul? Or are you a young Peter? Are you a Paul? He learned it. He allowed it to work for him. So, it's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. I don't see anything in here about being bold, about, you know, telling it like it is. I don't see anything in here that speaks of standing up for my own rights. I don't see any of that. But the world is full of that right now. They're full of it. They are practicing it. They are standing up for it. They are gaining ground. They are working hard at working on themselves to be just as disruptive as possible. But that's the opposite of what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be as peaceable as possible. It says, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Do you know what that means? Somebody told me one time, well, it says, as much as lies in you, be peaceable. And that's all I've got. But that isn't what that means. In other words, that isn't good enough. What it means, as much as lieth in you, be peaceable. In other words, there's supposed to be so much of it in us that it just comes out naturally. The other doesn't naturally come out. If the bold and the you know what I'm talking about, when you just got to say it and it's got to be said, and if all of that is what's coming out first, you're not full. Pardon me? Be forward. Peaceable, gentle, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. You know what hypocrisy is? You say one thing and do another. You live one way at home and you act different at work. You speak humbly and soft to your wife and husband here on the grounds, but in your cabin, you have some things to say. I haven't heard anything. So don't think I'm telling anything I've heard. I'm just giving an example. You're supposed to be full. It says, I am instructed to be full. It's instruction. You must be full. Full of purity. Full of peaceable gentleness. You must be easily entreated. Easily entreated, dear ones. That means we take instruction well. Not everybody does that. Easily entreated. When somebody comes to say something to you, some simple little thing. I don't even want to give an example. And we're quick to defend. Why do that? Why do that? Let me tell you something. If you're so perfect at it, and this person is so totally off to bring it to you, then why do you defend? Why defend it? Why defend it? God knows the truth. Why defend it? You know, sometimes we have to thank our brothers and our sisters, even the world sometimes, for giving us admonishments that we don't even understand why we're getting them. But do you know God can teach you why? Because sometimes we don't know what we're doing that causes them to think that way. There was a time that my husband told me that I thought I was smarter than he was. And I didn't think I was smarter than he was. And I couldn't figure out why he kept telling me that. So one day, I was out in the shop with him, and he was working on something, and he was showing me something and showing me how it was all put together and all those things. And you know, it's not really interesting, but because you're a wife, you're trying to be interested in what he wants to tell me. And I've learned a lot. I tell you, I learned a lot. I know a lot of things because my husband likes to talk about the things he's doing. So I'm out there listening, and then I said, oh, well, why don't you do it this way? And he looked at me and he said, why do you always think you're smarter than I am? And so I backed up and I went in the house and I said, Lord, what is it? And because I thought it was necessary for me to contribute. You see what I'm saying? I thought I should contribute something. I mean, he's been telling me all about this and explaining it all. And so I thought I should contribute. And he didn't appreciate my contribution because it sounds like I think I know more than he does. See, it sounds like I didn't think I knew more. And I really didn't know more. But it sounds like. Do you know there are many misunderstandings in life because it sounds like. And we have to be able to take admonishment and instruction and learn what we're doing that makes it look like that. I always go to the Lord and I say, Lord, when something happens and I say, Lord, I don't think I'm guilty of this, but what am I doing that makes them think this? What am I doing? I'm doing something because they just didn't come out of thin air. There's something I'm doing. And you know, the Lord will tell you what you're doing. And you can stop doing that thing and they will stop saying that about you because it doesn't appear that way anymore. Sometimes it's just appearances. So you have to learn. You have to learn how to let be easily entreated, how to let that happen for you. Not just to cast it off and say, well, I don't think I'm smarter than he is. He's just mistaken. You got to find out what's making it look like that. It says, so I'm instructed here to be full. And then it says, I'm instructed to be hungry. So I'm instructed to go after and reach after all the things that I'm supposed to have. And I'm instructed to go after them full force. And then I'm instructed to be hungry. In other words, I never get full. I'm instructed to be full, but I never get there. Why? Because I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry for the things of God. I'm instructed to go after the things of God. I'm to be hungry for them. So that no matter how much I have, I'm never full enough. I'm never full and satisfied and sit back and say, good enough, well done. It says in Proverbs 27:7, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. When my soul is, when I feel like I'm just so full, I'm so full. I've just, you know, we'll kind of feel like that after Monarch probably. I'm just so full. I've just gotten all this food. I'm so full. And it just doesn't, I don't even feel like going to church today. See, the honeycomb. At church, I'm tired and everything, but I've gotten so much. But it says to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. The bitter things are sweet. In other words, the bitter things, the things that are hard to take, things that are hard to swallow, the things that are hard to say, yes, Lord, that's me. Yes, Lord, I see what you're talking about. Yes, Lord, I'm doing it wrong. Yes, Lord, I'm trying to change. I'm not doing a very good job. Could you help me some more? The bitter things. And what about the time when you've been working on yourself? Oh, you've been working on yourself. You've been praying. You've been fasting. You've been working on yourself. And you see some improvement. You know the Lord has been blessing you. He's been helping you. And then that same one comes back by and says, you haven't changed at all. It's bitter, isn't it? I'm doing better. I know I'm doing better. The Lord knows I'm doing better. But see, if somebody can come by and say, you're not doing any better at all, and you can't deal with that bitter thing, then how much have you really gained? You got to be able to deal with that bitter. You got to be hungry enough to swallow the bad things. To know the things about you that are hard to take. The things about you that, I've probably said this before, My husband is a type A person. He's a go-getter, a worker, everything in its place. I am the opposite. And so when God put us together, we both had to learn some things. But I can remember thinking to myself, I'm never going to be able to do it like he does it. It's not in me. I don't even think like that. I don't think like that. So how can I do it when it doesn't even come to my mind? And I would wrestle with it, with the Lord, and wrestle with it. And I would say, Lord, help me. I don't know how to do this any better. And my husband, he wasn't saved at the time, but my husband would call me lazy. Ooh, I hated that word. I was saved, and I hated that word. But do you know, over time, the Lord said that word to me? Oh, and I could swallow it then. I could swallow it. It was bitter then, too. I didn't like hearing it. But because laziness is something that you can do something about. See, if you keep telling yourself, I just don't think like he does. But laziness is something that you can do something about. You can actually have a plan. You can, you know what I'm saying? You can do something about it. But a person that's lazy doesn't have a plan. They don't like plans. They don't like schedules. So you have to swallow some things about yourself sometimes. And we're instructed to be hungry and take down the bitter things. It says to suffer need. Paul learned to suffer need. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God. Do you believe everything that comes to you in your life is by the will of God? Do you believe it has to go by God first? Do you believe that God looks down and take interest in the smallest little thing that comes your way during the day? Do you believe he does that? See, you have to believe he does that before this scripture will make any sense to you. You have to believe that even the bitter things that come during the day, God looked over and he said, this is good for my servant today. They can learn a lesson from this. They can practice diligence in this. They can practice meekness in this. They can learn how to be abased here. They can learn how to abound. They can learn things here. God is a constant teacher. He's constantly trying to teach us. And we are the students. And he orders our day to help us. Nothing surprises God that comes into your life. Many times, I start off my prayer with the Lord. I say, Lord, this wasn't a surprise to you, but this was a surprise to me. Now help me to accept this and work with it and do what I need to do with it in the right spirit, in the right way, because it was ordered of you, Lord. It was ordered of you. When you get a hold of the fact that the Lord wants you to suffer because it's a great teacher, because it's a place to practice humility, it's a place to practice humbleness, a place to practice kindness, a place to practice perseverance and diligence and all these things. When we suffer, we can practice many of the virtues that God has given us, and we can find out where we're short. And the Lord wants us to know where you're short. He wants you to know that. If you're only getting a C, he wants to raise you up to an A. He doesn't want, C isn't good enough. I know C might be average, but that isn't what God wants out of us. He wants our all, what we're capable of, what we ourselves are capable of. And we're not, it's not based on a curve. You know what that curve was in school? Ooh, I hated the curve. Didn't you hate the curve where they take, you know, the highest and the lowest and they, I just wanted what I got. I didn't want it to depend on anybody else. But the Lord wants you to know that he has something designed perfectly for you so that you can get an A. Right alongside the person over here, they can get an A. And that they don't look anything alike. The way you handle things maybe doesn't look very much alike. It may be different. But God has it mapped out for you. See, Paul didn't look around at all the other apostles and the disciples and everything. He just kept looking at God. And whatever God led him through, he said, well, this is the will of God for me. And he went through it. And he's imprisoned and he's shipwrecked and he's bitten. And oh my, he went through so many things. And that's just an overview. That's an overview of how many years. There were many more things that happened. Many more things. But he named just a few. Well, if we're going to be a faithful servant, we can add up a list like that too. Did you know that? We can add up a list like that. I've been here and I've been there and I've suffered under, you know, what did he say? The lions at Ephesus or I don't know. He suffered under what people were saying and what they were doing. And listen, dear ones, we're going to have to be like Paul. It says, he said, I have learned. So what have you learned today? This so far in your Christian experience, have you learned to do these things? Are you good at it? Is the answers, do they come to you the first thing? Or do you have to pray them down for a while first? Is it a natural occurrence to hand out meekness when you're being railed upon? Is it naturally to be meek back? Have you learned it? Have you learned to be able to suffer torment and persecution and lies and hurts and go right on working for the Lord and having confidence in God and trusting him to work it all out and not letting the devil take all those things and press you down to where you feel like you can't speak and you can't do this, you can't do that? We're going to have to learn, dear ones. So what have you learned?